The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. We finish up what we started this morning. We're going to do verse 16 and 17 tonight. But now we're going to talk about power. Romans 1, verse 16. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes and our ears to your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word. Show us things we have not seen before. And help us take your word, Lord, to heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we talked about, and what Paul said, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that's good, right? It's a good thing not to be ashamed. But my question would be, why? We went through all the reasons Paul would have had this morning to have been ashamed. He was going to the capital of the world. He was from Jerusalem. He was a tent maker. He was going to talk to philosophers and educated people. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." But there has to be a better reason than just pure stubbornness. I mean, you know, have you ever known anybody that didn't matter, "I'm not going to change," period? That's not why Paul was not ashamed. The reason Paul was not ashamed is he knew something that most people do not know today. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for or because it is the power of God to salvation." I want you to think about that phrase, the power of God to salvation, for just a moment. That word power, the Greek word is dunamis. You've heard that before, which is where we get the word dynamite. It means supernatural, explosive, miracle-working power. I asked you this morning if you remember the fire that used to be in our churches. Many of you said yes, and tonight I want to remind you that, you know, that fire was not just an excitement. It was deeper than an excitement. It was a mountain-moving, soul-saving, people-turning-to-God power that we saw. And I want to go back there. I mean, don't you want to see the power of God in this church? Don't you want to see the power of God in your life? I often hear people say, "You know, it just kind of, it doesn't feel, I don't feel the power of God, or I don't feel like God's working within me." And there is a remedy for that. See, Jesus told his disciples, Luke 24:49, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And you know why they were going to receive that power from on high? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." You see, we kind of view power as an excitement. That's not the power we're talking about. The power we're talking about is life-changing, people turning and repenting power so that they will never be the same again. Do you believe that power still exists? I'll remind you, if you're a little skeptical, how many of you are saved? Will you say amen? Amen. That power changed your life. And we had several amens, okay? You're not the individual you were because you experienced that power. Now, if we want to see that power work in our church, if we want to see that power work in our lives, we have to realize what that power was given for. That power was given so that we could be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Period. And you go back in the Bible, do you realize every great revival, do you know what the theme was? The theme was Jesus. Jesus Christ crucified. They preached that on the day of Pentecost. Have you ever really read that sermon that Peter preached? I've read it a bunch, and I'll be honest with you. I don't say, wow, Peter was one awesome intellectual speaker. You know what he did? He told them about Jesus Christ, who was crucified for their sins, so that they could have eternal life. And 3,000 souls were added to the church. You go another chapter over in Acts 3 and 4, and when Peter and John healed the lame man and they wound up preaching. You remember that? 5,000 people believed. That's power. That's life-changing power. Acts 6, it says the number of the disciples were multiplied. Why? Because they were just simply preaching Jesus. You go throughout the book of Acts and it's the same thing over and over. It's not complicated. It's just a basic preaching Jesus Christ crucified for the salvation of mankind. Now, if we want to see the power of God, we're going to have to include the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it the center of who we are. When you go out in life this week, you're going to have to include Jesus and have the courage enough to say, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? When you come to church each time, you're going to have to have the mentality that there's going to be people in this church who need to be saved. And do you realize we've been having lost people in the services? I think that is so absolutely awesome. I'll be honest with you, I'm waiting for some to make a profession of faith. But we should be praying to that end. You want to set this church on fire. There's nothing that will do it any quicker than seeing lost souls saved. That's why we are here. You see, what has happened in churches today is we've settled for programs and busy activities and said, oh, I enjoyed that. I don't want to enjoy services anymore. I want to see the power of God take those sinners and turn them around and make them great men and women of faith. That's the power that we're talking about here. And that's the power that Paul is speaking of. That's why he said, I'll go to Rome and preach the gospel. I'll go anywhere and preach the gospel. Because it's the power of the gospel that will change lives. I think we need to change our thinking just a little bit as to what power really is. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate enjoying the service. But I'm hungry. And I'm not talking about for Cracker Barrel. I'm hungry to see souls saved in God's churches again. The only way that's going to happen is when you and I have a genuine burden. And the only way we're going to have a genuine burden is set our hearts on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and telling everyone we get half an opportunity that Jesus Christ loved them so much that He died for them. You see, what I fear has happened is we've unplugged from the power. I'm talking about churches in general. In our home, Beth and I have recliners. And they're electric-powered recliners. And for a long time, we didn't know that there were batteries that you could put in there. So that if the power went out, you could still get out of the recliner. Because I'll be honest with you, if I'm sitting in a recliner, that baby's reclined. Okay? And so there were a few times that we were, well, me, was very relaxed. The power went out. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this thing? It became unplugged from the power source. Then the power comes back on and, ooh, it goes, you know, you turn the power back on to it and it goes to working again. It's great. My friend, we've got to turn the power back on. I'm convinced that today's churches still have the same life-changing power they had in the days of the Apostle Paul. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ still changes lives. And He can take the most detestable, the lowest, most stubborn sinner that you and I know, and He can change them. But we're going to have to focus on where the power really is. That's simply what Paul's saying. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. It's the only thing that's going to change a life. And the good news is, it's for everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also the Greek. And he's not saying that the Jews come before anybody else. It's a statement of fact that salvation is of the Jews. It came to the Jews first and spread from the Jews to the Gentiles. Okay? The good news is, what you have in Jesus Christ and what I have in Jesus Christ, the world needs. And if you want to see power, start sharing Jesus Christ. Second thing, Paul said he wasn't ashamed because it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith. Here's why it's so powerful. The word righteousness, you know what that means. It just simply means to be right. Or rightness, if you will. Okay? For in the gospel, the rightness of God is made. Here is, of course, the righteousness that God provides for people on the basis of faith. And I want to tell you something. You will never understand the righteousness of God until you understand how sinful you are. And I know we're living in a world that's it don't matter the world that we live in. Never mind. Okay? When I discovered I was a sinner, that's when I discovered my need for Jesus. That's when I discovered that Jesus, you know, gives me His righteousness and He takes my sin away. That's when I discovered how right that God is. We've got to get that message back out. You know why this world is in the condition that it's in? Because it's never discovered the rightness of God. And because of that, I mean, we have laws and we have new social justice standards. I'll leave it at that. I mean, we have standards that just aren't even logical. But the reason is they've never discovered the righteousness of God. And I know it isn't popular, but you know, it's our job. You've got to share the bad news before you can get to the good news. The bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's what the world doesn't want to hear. But it's a fact. And you see, as we share that, I'm reminded that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. And apart from discovering the rightness of God, that rightness being Jesus' holiness, His righteousness placed upon us, there is no hope for mankind for salvation. Literally, this says, it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith into, or correction, revealed by faith into faith. It's speaking of the process as being the same for all. We're told, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's faith. The NIV says by faith from first to last, and that's a pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good way to put it. Do you realize there's nobody here that was saved any differently than anybody else? No one. I wasn't saved because I became a preacher. Brother Dale wasn't saved because he could sing real good. Brother Michael wasn't saved because he was great with kids or a great teacher. We were saved very simply by faith into the faith. And we were saved that way because the righteousness that God requires is not attainable by us. I truly feel sorry for those today who do not understand salvation by grace through faith. Because they can never have the peace that you and I have. You see, when I know my works did not earn me my salvation, I also know that my failures will not take my salvation away from me. The greatest news is the last line. I say the greatest news. It's all good news. But that last line I want to call your attention to you. The just shall live by faith. I'll give you my translation. Okay? The righteous by means of faith shall live. It's not talking about the here and now, living by faith, even though we do live by faith here and now. But that shall live, it points to the future. It's talking about our future state. Yes, we live in faith right now, but we shall live because of our faith. Yeah? When we stand before God, as I said this morning, and the only reason that God will allow us into His heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's our avenue of salvation. That's everyone's avenue of salvation. And I thought when Paul wrote that line, the just shall live by faith, I thought of what he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, where he said, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. One of these days, we talk about faith right now, and we do have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ to deliver us from this life. But do you realize one of these days, because of our faith, we're going to live forever in the presence of Jesus Christ? Isn't that the good news? Oh, listen, I love this life. There are a lot of things in this life I enjoy and I appreciate, but the one thing I think I love most of all is knowing where I'm going. This life is not all there is. I believe with all my heart that it's time for God's church to get back to the most basic power that we have. That's the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be bold. And learn to ask the question again, are you saved? And when we ask that question, they say, you know all the answers, right? Well, I was baptized. Well, I go to church. Well, they say, well, let me tell you how to be saved. Okay? Share Jesus. And as I said, if you have that desire, if you will take to yourself that burden, and I take to myself that burden, you'll be amazed what it will do. The Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I'm ready to grow. How about you? I'm ready to grow by winning the lost. That's what we're here for. You may be here tonight and you do not have the assurance that I'm talking about. the faith in Jesus Christ, you have never made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. So therefore, when you think about death, you're afraid. When you think about this life being over, you don't know what's going to happen. I'll share with you what's going to happen. If you die apart from Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is never ever quenched. But let me tell you the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for you because you are a sinner and fall short of the glory of God. And He makes His salvation available to you, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be asked, or shall be saved. All you have to do today is repent, meaning to turn away from whatever it is you're trusting in. If it's your works are not good enough. If it's your church membership's not going to get you there. Whatever it is, you need to turn away from it and you need to turn to Jesus for salvation. And very simply, ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Will you do that tonight as we have this invitation? Maybe you're here, you do have assurance of salvation. Listen, let's exercise the power that we are given in the book of Acts, chapter 1. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's exercise the power that we have by being witnesses for Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You. We thank You. And Lord, sometimes we get sidetracked. We think about all the things we want to do and things that we possibly can do. And we lose sight of the most basic things. And that basic thing is salvation by grace through faith. That basic thing is for us to declare to the world Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So Lord, today we want to renew our commitment to You. Father, I pray that You would instill in our hearts a desire to proclaim Jesus Christ, that we'll never be ashamed no matter where we go. But Lord, we also know that we can't do it on our own power. So, Lord, we pray for the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to surround us and enable us to make a difference through our witness. And now we pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.